Well, my analysis of events in ZANU-PF is very clear, that ZANU-PF has an old president, and because of the age of the president, there is a struggle for power, serious struggle for power to replace the president, who may either die any time or resign any time. And the serious jostling for political power and it led to an intense internal struggle or a dog-eat-dog situation in which a lot of people think that there is a possible chance to succeed the president, and therefore they are also competing for the ears of the president. And this, therefore, has led to a lot of lies, a lot of generated untold stories, and with the consequent expulsion of members from ZANU-PF.
Your take, Mr. Madiridze, on what is happening in ZANU-PF currently?
Yes. Let me say this is normal to a party like ZANU-PF. You find factions, you know, coming up and others dying away. This is normal because ZANU-PF as a party is old. That's point number one. Another point is that the leader of that party is old and has been in power for quite some time. And I can also say for too long, because there was no succession plan since 1980 up to now. There was no succession plan, and this is causing the development of factions and the dissolving of other factions. This is all because of the succession question. Once that succession question has been answered, we won't have problems in ZANU-PF. It will be a stable party. But right now, it won't stabilize. These suspensions and these expulsions will continue unless and until the succession question has been resolved.
Coming back to you, Mr. Ashou, looking at what happened last year, we were all shocked when Maimu Juru was booted out of the party. Do you see another shocker coming up or brewing up that we may have Mr. Mnangagwa no longer being the president, or the vice president rather? Do you see that happening over the weekend?
Well, the events in ZANU-PF are unpredictable, but unless ZANU-PF is self-destructive or wants to end itself, I don't foresee a possibility that the vice president, Comrade Mnangagwa, may be deposed, or that he may be replaced by the wife of the president, Comrade Grace Mugabe. I don't see such a situation happening, but you know, ZANU-PF is unpredictable. No one ever thought that ZANU-PF could expel the former vice president Joyce Mujuru, the former gurus like Didmus Mutasa, as well as other luminaries of the liberation struggle. But my point is very clear that elevating people with no liberation history, like the wife of the president, and relegating people with credible liberation struggle in spite of their cruelty, I think will be suicidal.
And coming to you, Mr. Madiridze, you were talking earlier on about the succession plan. Does Mr. Mugabe have a succession plan, or events are basically overtaking him right now?
He does have a succession plan, which he doesn't want to reveal anyway. He does have a succession plan, and this plan revolves around his relatives and those who come from Mashonaland province, those who come from maybe from within the Gushungo clan. This is what is happening in ZANU-PF, that Robert Mugabe do have a succession plan, but this succession plan cannot be unpacked now because the war veterans might not agree with the plan, they are the key stakeholders of ZANU-PF. And if they don't agree with the plan, the plan will be doomed to fail. So the plan may be unpacked and then implemented later when the war veterans have actually accepted that this is the succession plan that revolves around the wife of the president or the relatives of the president. So he does have a succession plan, but that succession plan can only be unpacked when everyone is in full picture of that succession plan.
Dr. Shaw, after what happened to Maimu Juru last year and so many within that party who were said to be backing him, did Mr. Mnangagwa make any mistake? What did he not foresee? What did he do wrong?
In ZANU-PF, perhaps it's not necessarily the aspect that what did he do wrong, but perhaps everyone is doing wrong. But the issue is that it depends on whether you now have a closer hearing to the president And I don't see anything wrong or right which he has done. But the whole essence, in my view, is a shroud policy of succession that is used by the President of Zimbabwe, which involves, one, leaving everyone guessing who could be the possible successor. Mugabe does not want to ensure that there is an open person or a person who is so clear that he will succeed him. He wants to leave everyone guessing whether he would succeed him, so that at least a number of people keep on hoping that they could possibly succeed him. But at the same time, perhaps Comrade Mnangagwa had moved so close to the fact that that aspect of leaving everyone guessing was now diluted, and it had become more apparent that he could possibly succeed him. And therefore, this is a shocker in order to leave everyone guessing and to remove someone who had moved a number of steps closer or appeared to be more closer than other people to succeed him. But at the same time, we are aware that while his policy is that to leave a lot of people hoping that they could become the successors, at the same time, we know that it is aligned to leaving someone who is coming from Mashonaland. So I think basically it is an issue of just removing someone who had moved to within a few steps to claiming the presidency and then leaving everyone at a distance, so that more and more people keep on hoping that they could succeed him.
Mr. Madirize, what are your expectations of this conference? You know, what do you think is going to happen?
This conference, I'm sure, is going to be an eye-opener to most of the people who are not aware of what is actually happening in ZANU-PF. It is going to reveal to us that the issue of factions, the issue of G40 and this other old guard faction is not just a thing of the private media. This is what is going to come out of this conference. The divisions are going to be clearer, more clearer than before. And if they are not careful, this conference might actually mark the downfall of ZANU-PF and maybe the downfall of other key members of that particular organization called ZANU-PF.
Dr. Shaw, do you agree that this could mark the end or the beginning of the end for ZANU-PF if things are not handled properly?
Unfortunately, I may not agree. But I, one thing which I agree with him is that this conference would reveal the major weaknesses of ZANU. But I do not agree that then these weaknesses may lead to the demise of ZANU. You see, because ZANU uses the army to plan, they have several scenarios. So after noting several weaknesses, it may then give also Mugabe an opportunity now to consult the army, to come up with a grand plan to force people into unity under his terms using the army. So there are two possibilities, possibly of weakening it, but also strengthening it after realizing the major weaknesses dividing the army. Sorry, dividing the country or dividing the people. Because they never listen to what the president does. Even if he is castigating people for being divided, he is well known for turning right when he is turning left, for indicating to turn right when he is turning left. So there are two possibilities, of course, revealing the weaknesses of the party, that in itself is a fact, that it is revealing the weaknesses of the party. But at the same time, it may also, therefore, come up or then give an opportunity for the army to come up with a strategic plan to ensure that they unite the people.
Do you see, Mr. Madirize, the army coming up probably eventually if nothing is coming out in the party itself, or if a candidate who is not liked by everyone or welcomed by everyone comes up, is the army in a position where they can actually dictate who becomes Zimbabwe's next leader?
Yes, the army does have that power to actually decide on behalf of party members who is going to lead ZANU-PF and then the country. But let us not overemphasize on the role of the army in ZANU-PF issues, because they are not the only stakeholders. Yes, we do have the army, but you also do have the CIO. That organization is key in the running of ZANU-PF and is key in actually deciding the fate of other people in ZANU-PF. And we also have the war veterans. Their voices, they do matter in ZANU-PF. And we also have the masses themselves. who follow ZANU-PF, the party members, the card-carrying members, they also matter in the succession plan. They also matter in any decision that may be taken at that particular conference or in any other event that ZANU-PF may hold in the near future. But the army does have the power to also decide and influence maybe the leader of ZANU-PF once Robert Mugabe is gone.
Thank you so much. Your last word, Dr. Joe.
Well, I wish people in Zimbabwe could mellow down to a more constructive approach, impermeable to political polarization, but permeable to development, irrespective of one's political affiliation.
And your last word, Mr. Madirize?
What I can only say is that the people of Zimbabwe have to be hopeful that the situation in ZANU-PF may continue. Maybe it will work in their favor as the people of Zimbabwe. Maybe it will work in such a way that the suffering that the people of Zimbabwe are going through may come to an end anytime soon.